Hello, dear parents, and welcome to our next episode about nurturing the gentle hearts of sensitive children. My name is Susan, and I'll be your narrator on behalf of Efrat Hazaz, the co-founder and chief of parenting programs at the Makes Kids Happier Center. In today's episode, we'll have a heart-to-heart conversation about the tender souls that grace our lives. The sensitive children. Together, we'll step into a world as seen through the eyes of a child, where hearts are open, joy and pain are intertwined, and every tear and laugh carries deep meaning. So let's embark on this journey with love, empathy, and understanding. I am a mother of a sensitive child, and it's a trait I cherish deeply. His heart communicates with me and the world around him, resonating with joy, laughter, and yes, pain. Many parents struggle to understand their sensitive children, often perceiving their tears as excessive. When my son is hurt, disappointed, or frustrated, his tears flow without restraint, without defenses. And this openness, this authenticity, is beautiful to me. Some might urge their children to be strong or not to cry, pressing the age-old adage that big boys don't cry. But isn't it clear, even as adults, we experience fear and pain? So in our attempt to protect our children, we must ask, does insisting to hide their tears truly make them stronger? Or does it teach them to cope with life's challenges in a healthier way? Let's practice a little exercise, something to really think about. Picture yourself at a moment when you were swamped by sadness or fear. It's something we've all experienced, right? Think about how you felt in that instant. What was it that you truly needed? Some of you might wish for a long, empathetic hug in those moments. Others might yearn for someone to just listen, to offer a kind word of support. And there are those who might find solace simply in being consoled before moving forward, while some need to express themselves, maybe through words, maybe through tears. Whatever the choice, it's about easing the burden, isn't it? Crying, in its essence, is a way to release all that weight, recharging your spirit. After you've let it all out, that's when you might be ready for advice. Perhaps even ready to consider perspectives you hadn't thought of before because the pain, anger, or fear was too overwhelming. But what if, in that vulnerable moment, you're met not with understanding, but with judgment? Imagine someone you care about telling you your feelings aren't valid, dismissing your emotions, urging you to just move on. How would that make you feel? Far from healed, I'd bet. More likely, it'd heighten your distress. This brings us to the heart of why we're talking about this. It's to understand what our children need when they're in the grip of strong emotions. They're not looking for us to judge or dismiss them. They need our comfort, our presence. They need to feel understood and supported, not isolated because of their feelings. By accepting their emotions, we're not just helping them in the moment, we're teaching them a valuable life skill, the ability to navigate their feelings without fear of them spilling over. Holding emotions too tightly can lead to a breakdown, and trust me, the impact of that is far greater. With these reflections in mind, I'd like to share a story with you. Not long ago, my son was in a big basketball playoff game. To him, it was more than just a game. He played his heart out, putting all his skills and passion into every move. But sometimes things don't go as planned. With a single points difference, the dreams of victory slipped away. I stood there, amidst the roaring crowd, and my heart sank. I knew, as only a mother does, that his spirit was breaking with the buzz of the game's end. There he was, my sensitive soul of a son, running into the embrace of his father, letting his tears cascade freely, each one a testament to his passion and his pain. His father, steadfast as ever, became his anchor, holding him, affirming it's okay to feel, to cry. And there I was, unable to hold back my own tears, because you see, he's a part of me, my sensitivity mirrored in him. We cried together, our tears a silent conversation, a shared understanding that transcends words. In that look, that deep eye contact, he knew I was with him, for him, beside him. Yet his sensitivity isn't just reserved for the aftermath of lost games. It extends into the corners of his everyday life, where fear often lurks, waiting to pounce on the next challenge. Like the time I asked him to watch over his little sister. A simple request. For him, this request is a mountain to climb, and an anxiety creeps in quickly, but he's brave enough to name it and face it. That's when the mother in me rises, with gentle reminders of the tactics we've practiced together into a tapestry of coping strategies. We breathe in and out. We speak our fears aloud, giving them names and stripping them of their power. Together, we imagine the worst outcomes and tackle them with simple solutions, reinforcing his sense of safety. Now, I would like to teach you some hands-on strategies, sort of a toolkit, that you can put into action to support your sensitive child right where they are. Firstly, think about setting up a little sanctuary, a safe space. It could be as simple as a cozy place in your home with a few cushions, their favorite blanket, maybe some soft toys. It's a signal that this is their personal haven for emotional cool downs. Mindfulness isn't just for us grown-ups. Simple breathing exercises or maybe a calm visualization can work wonders for our kids too. It's like a mental reset button, helping them and us find our center. Now, how about the words we use? Let's try validating their feelings. So instead of brushing off their fears, we could say, "It's completely okay to feel scared," or "I can see you're upset, and you know what? It's all right to feel that way." This kind of support can go a long way. Encouragement is the key. If they're feeling all sorts of things, let's channel that. Maybe they can draw what they're feeling, act it out, or just talk it through. It's their stage, their picture, their story. And here's a little trick. Use emotional labeling. It's all about helping our kids put names to their feelings. It's like organizing an emotional library so they can understand and manage each feeling as it comes. And don't forget, leading by example is crucial. If we stay calm in the storm, it shows them there's another way. They're looking to us, learning how to handle those waves. When they do open up, let's give them our full, undivided attention. Active listening doesn't just hear the words. It hears the heart. Another technique involves building routine and predictability, which serve as anchors. They offer a sense of safety, especially when things get a bit choppy emotionally. And don't forget, slow it down. Our kids need breathing room between activities. They're not mini adults. They're kids, and they need time just to be. All of these tools, they're more than just in-the-moment fixes. They're building blocks for life skills. By embracing these strategies, we're not just calming the now, we're equipping our kids for the road ahead. As we wrap up today's talk, remember this: by nurturing these practices, we're cultivating a garden where our children's emotional well-being can bloom. We're teaching them that their sensitivity isn't a storm to be weathered, but a strength to be harnessed. With our support as their gentle breeze, we'll guide them across the calm waters of self-awareness and emotional balance. Thank you, parents, for joining me in this episode. For more like this, visit our parent space on the MKH site. As we continue to share, learn, and grow together in our parenting journey, let's keep in mind, making our kids happier not only enriches their lives, but also brightens the world around us.